if I still had my jewelry store, I wouldn't go after the keyword jewelry. I would go after, let's say, men's platinum diamond wedding ring or ladies oval rose gold engagement ring, something where it's a long tail keyword. You might get 100 or 500 searches a month for that, but that's going to be very clean traffic and the conversions are going to be much higher than somebody that types in just jewelry.
Hello and welcome to the Small Business School. My name is Craig Staley, 20-year retail veteran, e-commerce practitioner, and entrepreneur. Each week, I will interview a new small business owner that we can learn from to take our businesses to the next level. Now, let's go. Eric Seropian is the owner of a digital marketing agency in Los Angeles called This Is My South Bay. I asked him what his top three tips for building an SEO strategy were, which led us to some interesting information for those who are getting serious about SEO. He also talked about how your social media impacts your SEO. This is something I'd never heard of before. There is nothing I love more than learning something completely new, and Eric was bringing the value today. So without further ado, Eric Seropian. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. Before we get to today's guest, I wanted to talk to you about a company that I use and love, Bluehost. Some of you may or may not know, but I have a website design business, and I use Bluehost to host all of my clients' websites as well as my own. Bluehost is affordable, and their customer service is unparalleled. I can't tell you how many times I've chatted with one of their agents at 11 o'clock at night to get help with something I couldn't figure out. There's never a wait time, and they always resolve my issue the first time, every time. So if you aren't satisfied with your current host, or you're looking to buy a domain and get your website set up, I would highly recommend that you look at Bluehost. Also, I want to mention that I'm an affiliate for Bluehost, which just means that if you go to the show notes or on craigstaley.com/resources and click on the Bluehost link and make a purchase, I'll receive a small commission for referring you. You never pay any more. It just helps me out a little bit if you choose to use my link. Now, let's get on with the show. All right. I'd like to welcome my guest today. It's Eric Seropian from This Is My South Bay. It's an SEO agency. How are you today, Eric?
Hello. Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on with us. Can you give the listeners a little bit of your background to get started?
Of course. I was a small business owner of a jewelry company. And we would design jewelry and manufacture wholesale, retail, everything. And then I pivoted over to digital marketing. And that's where This Is My South Bay comes from. This Is My South Bay is, the South Bay is a region of Los Angeles. There's about 25 million people that live in LA. Mm-hmm. And there's about 800,000 that live in the South Bay area of Los Angeles. And I've grown up there. I live there. And that's why I named the company after that.
Nice. So that seems like a strong pivot. How did you make the change from jewelry to SEO?
Well, back in the day when the economy stopped, mm-hmm. It slowed down in 06 and pretty much stopped, around 07 for a couple of years there. I mean, I couldn't give away a piece of jewelry. People sure. were not looking to purchase. And so while working full time, I went back to school and learned this thing called marketing. Mm-hmm. And so while I learned marketing, I really took to search engine optimization. And so this is back probably around 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I felt like that this is something I can monetize and something I wanted to pursue. And so I opened my own marketing agency.
Awesome. Give us a little, speaking of your agency, just give us a little background on your business. What do you guys do there?
Well, I'm certified to do Google Ads. I'm a Yelp agency, meaning that there's things that as a independent store, if you online store, if you went there, you get bonuses if you work with an agency and you get discounts and you get things that you wouldn't, add-ons that you normally wouldn't get as an individual. And also, I teach search engine optimization part-time at an academy called Orange County Search Engine Academy here in Los Angeles. And so I lead with SEO in mind. Everything I do is geared towards, okay, we want this free traffic coming in from Google. Mm-hmm. And so if that means that we have a good score on our social media, or we do some Google ads to get Google's attention, whatever the case may be, it's so that we can get that traffic coming in from Google.
So that academy that you teach at, is that virtual? Can any of the listeners log in and to one of your classes?
Or it's
is
not.
It all in person?
It's all in person.
Oh,
and
shoot.
Given COVID, it's, you know, I haven't taught this year. So I'm,
gotcha.
I love teaching. So I'm itching right now to get back in the classroom, but they don't have the online apparatus. It's mostly for people that want to learn it in a short amount of time. It's literally like learning a language in a week, because we go at it, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning until maybe 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening. And then I take questions. Sometimes people stay behind. 5 days, you know, that's at least 40 hours of just talking SEO and going over real life examples, you know, throwing up on the screen, you know, a website that somebody has and what's wrong with this page? Why isn't it tagged? Why isn't it, you know, whatever the questions are.
Sure.
And we're working on it in real time. And so it's exciting, you know, it's tiring at the end of the day. I'm like,
I bet.
Taking all those questions. We go through about 1,000 slides in a 5-day period. So we cover a lot.
Wow. So can you define SEO for people who may not be familiar with what SEO is, and you know, why is it important for small business owners?
Sure. SEO stands for search engine optimization. So basically, when you type in the Google search box, you type in something that you're looking for. Let's say you're looking for a tune-up for your car. And so when you type that, let's say Mazda oil change. And so what happens is Google tries to figure out, first of all, where you are, and then gives you what it considers to be the best possible search result for your search. And so it does it by doing many different things. Sometimes you're logged into your Gmail, your Facebook. It knows by your IP address where you're at. Even if you don't put in the city, if you put in, you know, oil change, it should come up with a good search result. Now, at the very top of the search engine results, generally there's the paid ads. There's about 3 or 4 at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have what is organic. So that's kind of Google vouching for that website fitting the criteria for the searcher, the user. And so it converts way better than the paid ads. And so it's giving you that result because it feels like your website is a very good fit for the user. And Google is a very user-centric search engine. That's their secret sauce, is that they're not thinking about the advertiser first, which was the mistake of a lot of search engines that came and went. They're thinking of the user. So if I'm looking for, you know, to get an oil change for my Mazda in, I don't know, a suburb of Los Angeles, and I get a search result for an ice cream shop in Denver, you know, if that happens too often, I'm just going to go to another search engine. I'm going to go to Yahoo, Bing, whatever. And it's not good for Google.
For sure.
That's why a lot of times the best possible search results come in from Google. And most of us are using Google these days to search online.
If they're not doing what's right for the user, they're not going to get advertised. They're not going to have anyone to advertise to.
Exactly. And so the optimization part of it is to be able to get ranked for the keywords that you're looking for within the area that you're looking for. That's what search engine optimization is in a nutshell.
So if I'm a small business owner and I'm going to get serious about SEO, what would you say are the top 3 things that I should consider when I'm developing my SEO strategy?
I think the first two people kind of overlook because it's work. It's not part of their skill set usually, is to do a competitor analysis and to do a keyword analysis. So that's the first two things I ask from my clients is to, hey, give me your top 10 or 20 competitors and give me 20 or 30 keywords that you would love to rank for. And I'll use the example of jewelry. If I still had my jewelry store, I wouldn't go after the keyword jewelry. Mm-hmm. I would go after, let's say, men's platinum diamond wedding ring or ladies' oval rose gold engagement ring, something where it's a long tail keyword.
Mm-hmm.
You might get 100 or 500 searches a month for that, but that's going to be very clean traffic and the conversions are going to be much higher than somebody that types in just jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a watch? Is it an opal? Is it a silver costume jewelry? Like, what are we talking about here?
You might not even carry the jewelry they're looking for.
Exactly. And it's a very difficult keyword to rank for anyway. It's a battle that even if you win, you're probably going to lose at the end of it. So you want to do the competitor analysis. You want to do the keyword analysis. And also, whatever you're going to do with your SEO campaign, it has to be consistent. So you can't, let's say, you create 100 new pages. You commit to creating 100 new pages in the next 12 months. Well, if you do 100 next month when you launch and you don't do any afterwards, it's just not the same. It's kind of like the example that I always give. If you're going to eat 365 dinners in a year, if you eat all 365 January 1st and nothing the rest of the year, it just doesn't work that way. Life mm-hmm. doesn't work that way. And same with online marketing. If you get all your reviews all of a sudden and you didn't get any reviews from Yelp or Google or Facebook, you didn't get any reviews before or after, but on one particular day or in a 1 week period, you got 150 reviews and nothing after or before, it actually sends the wrong signal.
Looks a little fishy.
Yes. So it's like that when you do build out pages, when you do blog articles, links coming in, reviews, anything. It has to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the competitor analysis a little bit. Why is it important to do that competitor analysis?
Usually what I do is there's a lot of apps out there. The one that I tend to use lately most is something called SEM Rush. Mm-hmm. There's Ahrefs, Majestic SEO, plenty of others. What you do is when you subscribe to these apps, you can go in a search box and put in your website or your competitor's website, and it will give you a listing of keywords that they're ranked for.
Gotcha.
And so you can say, okay, let's do a competitor analysis of your top 20 competitors. Let's put mm-hmm. them all together and see which keywords they're ranked for. Let's take out the doubles and triples, and let's take out the ones that we don't really, works for them, but we don't want this keyword. And so you can lock in on X number of keywords that are important to you. And then you start to go through the task of optimizing for those keywords.
That makes sense. So what would you say are the best, and maybe you've talked about a couple here already, but what would you say are the best low-cost or no-cost tools for small business owners to improve their SEO?
I don't know about no cost. I know mm-hmm. that Google has some keyword planner you can use, and you can go on the back end and check out your analytics for Google. One of the ways to do it is to use your Google Analytics. So you can see the landing pages. You can see the top pages that people are landing on, top pages people are leaving from. Any data you can put together, it helps you kind of put together a picture of what's going on. But as far as doing competitor analysis and keyword research and things like that, you probably would be better served spending some money on some of these apps. Some of them start at $49 a month and go anywhere to, a couple hundred dollars a month.
Yeah, and if you're getting serious about SEO, I mean, that's not a whole lot of money to invest.
Exactly. You just need to practice it, know how to use it. It's one thing to gather the data, put it together, paint a picture of what you want to do, and then you have to go through the exercise of implementing it.
If I'm going to hire an SEO agency to help me out, obviously you have a great agency, you're reputable, but what are maybe some red flags I should look out for if I'm interviewing an agency to help me with SEO?
Of course. I think one of the things you want to look at is you want to capture where you're at, and you want to be able to say, okay, I'm getting, 10 visitors a day or 100 visitors a day, whatever mm-hmm. it is, to my website. I'm already getting this. So I hire you. A month into it, 3 months into it, where are we at? What's going on? And you can kind of gauge where they're at, what they're doing. What I tend to do a lot of times with some industries that, warrant it, I do it a lot with healthcare industries, where what I do is I set up the campaign so that I get different phone numbers. And so we can track with the call tracking metrics, call tracking software, we can track which phone calls came from my campaigns. So let's say a client brings me on, and I had this happen many times, and I just figured, okay, let me just do it this way, where they would say, okay, here's what we need. We need X number of blog posts, we need Facebook posts, et cetera. And here's, and I would write the contract for, for this, it's going to be this much a month, consulting fee. I would get it done. And then afterwards, they would say, well, I don't know if we got any phone calls from what you were doing. We're getting phone calls before you. We're getting phone calls now.
Yeah.
So now what I do for clients that want to be able to calculate the return on investment, I'll get the call tracking software, and then we will keep track of where the phone calls are coming in from. So for example, there's this one client in healthcare. They were getting about 50 phone calls a day, roughly, before they met me. Mm-hmm. And so instead of mixing my work in with them, I figured I'll do my campaign separately. So we can see where the phone calls are coming in from, where it's, if it's coming in from Google Ads, Facebook, Google Organic, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so we're right now at about, I would say about 105 phone calls a day on an average day. Wow. So that way, this is what I'm doing. Here's your business that you've had for 10 years. You're doing this. And here I come in with the add-on. And now we're doing this.
So how do you route those phone calls? So how do you know it's coming from your campaign when it comes to like SEO, where they could just naturally be coming to their website using the phone number on their website? How do you split those out?
Of course. So generally, the tracking software that is out there, there's many of them. Mm-hmm. And so it keeps track of a lot of times if it's a, you know, if it's a site that wasn't ranked before I got there, it's going to be something where it's, you know, part of my doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the pages that I add, it's able to differentiate, or if someone hasn't called in 6 months or ever, then it'll give the credit to my campaign. Gotcha. But for the most part, the clients that I have that I bring aboard that we do this, it's, you know, if it comes in from Google Organic, it's giving the credit to what I've done. A lot of times they don't have much going on in the online world, other than maybe they've taken to a platform, let's say Facebook or Yelp, mm-hmm. or something, but they want that traffic coming in from Google. It's a game changer to have Google sending you that free traffic. It changes everything for a small business.
And the other thing I'm sure that you can point to too is if you're looking at their Google Analytics, the organic traffic that comes in month after month versus when you started.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think one question that I always get or have talked to other people about is, you know, people will say, hey, you know, I really want to work on my SEO. How can I get to the top of Google, you know, next week? Is it, talk about, you know, maybe the, how SEO is in your mind. Is it a long-term play? Is it are there quick fixes that someone can make on a website to get them ranking on the first page of Google?
Well, search engine optimization is a long game. It's kind of like a marathon. So it's not like Google is going to turn over the keys to the car overnight to you. And it's looking at so many different metrics to figure out if it's going to give you ranking for a particular keyword. So if you want traffic overnight, because I have sometimes people that call me and it's October and they're getting ready for Black Friday and Christmas and, you know, they want to do optimization, and that's not how it works.
Yeah.
So it's something that happens over time. The reviews that you accrue, the content that you build out, the incoming links from other websites, the many things that you have to do to get ranked, it happens over time. Again, if you were going to build out 1,000 pages and you did it suddenly before Black Friday, it might actually hurt you than help you, you know, given how the algorithms work. So if you're looking for quick, you would probably go to Google Ads. Mm-hmm. And even Google Ads now has something where they rank your website. And it takes into account, let's say there's a particular keyword that you're trying to rank for. It gives you a score between 0 to 10. So if you have a 0 or 1, Google will not even sell you the traffic. So you have to work on those pages to optimize those pages before you can even buy the traffic, let alone to get optimized for it. So a lot of times I use Google Ads to figure out what Google thinks of a particular keyword or a particular page, so that I don't have to optimize for it, because Google's not selling us the traffic.
Gotcha.
So I go ahead and I optimize the page and I see what Google thinks of it. And at some point when I get it up to 4, 5, 6, something, then I say, okay, now let me optimize this page. Now Google will think, you know, consider giving us that free traffic for this keyword. There's nothing immediate. The closest thing is Google Ads.
Mm-hmm. That's good to hear, because I think that's probably how I view it. It's not the answer anyone wants to hear. They want the immediate, the microwave, some way to get it done quickly. But you know, it's not the way that Google works. It's consistency over time. So exactly. one thing that I heard you talk about earlier that, you know, I don't think about very much when I think about SEO is social media. Can you explain how social media plays into the SEO game?
Sure. Google is kind of playing detective. So it's looking at certain metrics to see what it thinks, you know, in which direction you're swimming. So let's say I have 100 followers on my social media, and next month I have 90 followers, and the month after I have 80. And I'm posting, but no one is liking it, commenting on it. My engagement rate is zero. So that's going to be a negative signal to Google. Whereas if I'm posting on a regular basis, whether it's once a week, you know, once a month, once a day, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and I have an engagement rate of at least 1-2%, and there seems to be some growth in my following, then that's going to be a positive. So you want to be able to send the correct signals to Google, and Google is watching, Google is seeing, and Google is sometimes reading the messages that's on Facebook. If people are upset, if people are giving negative reviews on Yelp, if people are complaining about you on your Facebook page, it's just sitting back and playing detective. So you have to make sure that whatever you're doing with social media, you also keep in mind, you know, that Google is watching.
It's funny, you think about 20 years ago or more, and you're looking for, say, a mechanic shop. You're going to ask your buddy at work, or you're going to ask your mom or your dad or who a friend or whatever, and they're going to give you a recommendation. And it almost seems like Google is trying to replace that mom, dad, friend, buddy at work when it's recommending a mechanic shop and saying, okay, Joe's mechanic shop, he's gotten 12 terrible reviews. People are talking, you know, some negative stuff about him on Facebook. I don't think you want to go there. You want to go to Mike's mechanic shop or whatever the case is. So that's interesting how they're replacing kind of that recommendation.
There's still a huge part of our economy that is based on word of mouth and referral. So that's why Yelp is so powerful, is because mm-hmm. other people are talking about the restaurant or the, in this case, the mechanic example that you give. So, but first we go to our circle of friends and family. And then if they don't know anyone, we go to, you know, we go online and see. Maybe we do both.
Yeah.
But that's one place that I feel like a lot of companies fall short, is that they spend so much of their time trying to find new clients, always hunting for new business, that they overlook this gold mine of customers that they've built up through the years. Mm-hmm. And they just ignore that. Whereas something as basic as a monthly email blast and getting them on their social media would change their business, because it's so much more expensive, up to 10 times more expensive to make a sale to a new client than it is to make a sale to a customer that you've already sold to. And so you have to stay front of mind. You have to, you know, because you will get a lot of business from those referrals.
Yep. And to your point, even following up with an email or a phone call with those customers and asking them to review your page or asking if everything went all right, so they will recommend you in the future.
Yes, absolutely.
So I asked this question to all of my guests. If you could hop into a time machine and go back to the day that you launched This Is My South Bay, what advice would you give your past self?
Well, probably, because I was reading this online a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I would probably buy some stock of Netflix. It went up like 4,000%. But I know you're talking about work.
You wouldn't be in business anymore. You'd just live off of that.
But I think that I would have probably been more aggressive in online link building and just building the foundation to some of these websites and creating a community. And so that's, again, as time goes on, it's going to be more difficult to optimize to make new clients. It's going to, Google ads, Facebook ads, all these, the prices are going to go up. Mm-hmm. So when you make that client, you have to keep them within your circle and grow your customer base. So probably I would say to keep everyone in a funnel, keep them all in one place.
And so when you say growing a community, give some examples maybe of what you're thinking about there.
What I'm thinking about is, for example, on my Instagram, I have close to 20,000 followers in the South Bay area. I've geo-targeted it.
Nice.
So, you know, if there's a fundraising event at a church, or if there's something with a nonprofit or a small business needs some attention. You know, if I do a podcast or I do a post or anything, they get some attention. It's a small number, 20,000 for online, but for an area that's 800,000, that's, what is that, like 1 out of 40 or something? I don't know. It's a good reach.
Decent percentage.
Yes. So I would have probably started that community building
earlier.
Before. Gotcha. As time goes on, it's more difficult because there are more competitors. There are just more businesses that are fighting for that space on your Instagram or on your Twitter.
For sure. And then I think as different social media apps age, the algorithms change and it makes it a little bit more difficult as well.
Yes.
So where can our listeners find out more about your business, social media, website, that type of stuff?
Well, they could go to thisismysouthbay.com. If you have any questions, there's a book now button. Click on that for 15 minutes. I will go over any questions you have on search engine optimization. I can tell you what keywords your website is ranked for. You know, any questions that you would have that I can answer. And all my social media information is on the website also.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure it ends up in the show notes. Eric, I think you in a half hour provided quite a bit of value. It's definitely got me thinking more about what I can do as far as SEO goes. So I really appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Eric really covered a lot today, but one thing he drove home for me is SEO is a marathon, not a sprint. There are no quick fixes to improve your SEO. This is something you need to start planning for today to be better a year or 5 years from now. Keywords for your site, reviews on Google My Business, social media, it all plays a part. And like Eric said, consistency is key. If you're a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other grow their businesses. Join the community and let's help each other take our businesses to the next level. We'll see you there. If you'd like to learn more about our guest today or be a future guest on the Small Business School, go to craigsdaily.com/podcast for more info. And of course, it would mean the world to me if you'd click subscribe or write a review for the Small Business School in your podcast app of choice. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.